Today's Real Talk, the show focused on all things North Carolina real estate, sitting with Claudia Ogrizek with Compass Real Estate. Today's a special day, though.
It is a very special day.
Today is a very special day. Yeah. It's your 10-year anniversary of a few things.
Well, 10-year anniversary of one thing, which is arriving in America and moving in with my husband. So kind of like...
So two things.
Unofficial marriage. And what I consider my 7th anniversary in real estate. It was the day I quit my job to become a full-time broker.
Do you regret any... Oh, you're already shaking your head. No, she doesn't regret that. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Mamie's in the studio right now.
I know.
This is your first time. Welcome to today's Real Talk.
Thank you.
The show focused on North Carolina real
estate.
Totally
different. I'm in a different chair today, too. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my hands.
If you hadn't heard Mamie before, we're together Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. on Good Morning LKN.
That's right.
And Mamie is who introduced me to you, Claudia.
Yes.
She said, hey, I know you've been looking for somebody in real estate to do the show with you. And like, I have this friend who's like super awesome. And her name's Claudia.
That's exactly how I talk.
And she's from Brazil. And you should talk to her. And so we chatted.
And you're going
to
love her. And yeah, of course.
And she brought cookie cake.
Yes. To celebrate. I love it.
Yes.
We're not going to eat the cookie cake right now. This isn't
appropriate. Oh, later. Okay. Yes. At the end.
So 10 years. Give us some of your fondest memories thus far.
Okay.
Here comes the tissue.
You got the tissue.
Bill, she's got tissues.
I get the I got them. It's this country was the country that gave me the most important things I have in my life.
Mm.
My daughter, my sweet husband, and the job I love. So it can't get sweeter than that.
So you're crying because you love the fact that
crying.
You go around and show people houses
yes.
and deal with needy folks in a market like this right now. That's why you're crying?
Yes. I don't know if it's happiness or not. No, you know that. I enjoy doing it and it's fine. The good, the bad, I'm here for it all and I love it.
Well,
right?
You two yes. know each other, so you have a story as far as your connection.
Yeah, and Claudia and I met about 9 years ago, so... A year. I mean, really, almost to the day, because it was spring of 2015, I think, when I reached out to you.
I think 17.
So, was it 17 when I reached out to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, 17. So, it's been I feel like our journey kind of started at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, in the kind of the same time frame, because I was looking for a place to live and felt helpless, hopeless, had never bought a house. I had just gotten divorced and I had never bought a place by myself. I didn't even know what that meant. I was in my 30s, but I felt like I was 12 years old trying to navigate all of it is about real estate. And it was really just, I needed a safe place for my daughter, Katie, and I to live. And that was it. Like, good schools, and I want to feel safe. And so Claudia's told the story before, and it's funny because she tells the story to people, I tell the story to people, but we've never told the story to each other.
Never,
so
yeah.
Every time I hear her tell it, I cry.
I'll try not to.
But the fact that she took her time, it wasn't just like, and I was a renter too. I couldn't afford to buy a house. I didn't have enough credit or whatever you need to buy a house.
You ain't no rental girl. Don't say that.
I was a rental girl.
Was.
I had very little money. Had just gotten a full-time job. I just didn't have a lot to my name. So it was really, really sweet for you to take the time. And what you said that meant so much to me is like, I've been where you are before. And that was so special to me because it was somebody who understood exactly what I wanted, right? You're a mom. You're going to work hard, but you want to feel safe. You just want to feel safe. And you want to feel like this is my own place too. And we walked into the place just down the street here.
But this was after the first one.
The terrible one. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Gosh, it was awful. And I had gone to apartment complexes. Could not. Nobody would say yes to me. Absolutely nobody would say yes to me just because I didn't have a credit history. I didn't have a job for a very long time. I was getting turned down left and right. And so we went to this terrible house, smelled like cats, and I was like, it's fine, I can afford it. It's near a decent school, not the school that I want, but it's decent, it'll be fine. And she was like, absolutely not, you can't live here.
I told her, no, this is not the one, I'm not going to allow you to rent this place. I said something like, give me one day, I will find you a place.
Yeah.
And I did.
And so she took me to this place just down the street, 3-bedroom, right on the lake.
On the lake.
And I remember walking in and be like, I can't afford this. There's no way I can afford this. And she was like, you actually can. And so just like walking in and feeling like this is, and I felt like it was home. And she always says the house chooses you. And it really did. That was the first time I felt like it was a home that Katie and I could live in, be safe in. Katie, whenever she first came to see it, she was like, Mom, we can't afford this. Like, even she said that. And I was like, yeah, we can. Claudia's worked it out.
Yeah.
And all the other things, like your daughter Nina was at Northwest School of the Arts. Uh-huh. I found out about it from you. Katie ended up going there and doing really well there. Uh-huh. Just all the things that you've brought into my life. And like, you're one of the reasons I met Rob. You know, like, he was living on the first floor, I was on the third floor. My story is much more romantic than his, but we met one day in the condo. And so just the journey that we've had together.
Yes,
and feeling like we kind of started over together. And then to see where you are now, I'm just so happy. And I texted you today. Same. So happy. So yes. Proud of you. Just, it just makes my heart so happy to see what
here.
You're doing. I know.
Same.
It's just a love fest mm-hmm. today. So yeah. I'm very proud of you and glad I could be here today to celebrate your anniversary.
I'm very happy. I had no idea you were coming. So I'm very happy.
Yeah. I know you love a surprise.
I do love a surprise.
I'm the dude who makes ladies cry. Is that what I'm in this equation here, by the way?
But this is a thing that she, and I mean, she is one of them, that this was something that I had since the beginning when I decided to do it. It's like, I'm going to help everyone that needs a house. I'm not going to judge, because there are many realtors that refuse to work with renters. Like,
sure, there's no money in it. There's no money. There's no money in repping a renter.
There's no money. Right. There's no money. And many times people need to see many houses because their financial situation is not good. So they have to apply. But since the beginning, I would call the manager company and say, hey, can we do something about it? Can I? So, and this was something, and I still do. It doesn't matter if you're not ready for whatever reason, you're not ready to buy, but you need a home, because we all do. I'll do my best to help. This was one of the situations. And again, she could get the cat house, but I said, I'm not going to allow you to do it, because I know you have to be okay. The home is the most important place. It's where you can be yourself. And I said, I refuse to do it. So give me some time. Let me find you a place. And I did find, I don't even know if you had this lake. No, I'm not going to say it's because of me, but if you had this lake connection before the condo.
I had the lake connection before the condo, and that was really like, if I could have picked my dream place to live, it was where I could be close to the water. Like, that was it. I just wanted to be able to walk down to the water and see the water.
And it's funny, because I had no idea. Mm-hmm, and I found a place on the lake. I had no idea she had the water thing. I mean, I didn't know until now.
Right.
All of this is well and good. I'm so glad we're celebrating you right now, but there's really a question here that matters, and it's bigger than us individually. Uh-huh. Is Statesville part of Lake Norman?
I think I've decided yes. I know you say no.
I will say yes.
Okay.
I'll say yes. Wow, that's one
yes.
segment. We have Dr. Chu in here, by the way. Hey, Dr. Chu,
sorry,
how are you
Dr.
doing?
Sorry, Dr. Chu.
We only have 20 seconds till we go to break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to hang out with you. Dr. Chu, director of the Childress Klein School of Real Estate of UNCC. Did I get that right?
Yes. Childress Klein Center for Real Estate.
Excuse me. That's my apologies. I call him the godfather of real estate. That's what I think Dr. Chu is. He is the godfather of numbers. Coming back.
There's more of today's Real Talk with Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazepas on the way from 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Call now to speak with Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazepas at 844-STUDIO-4. It's today's Real Talk on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Today's Real Talk, the show focused on all things North Carolina real estate. Thanks to Mamie Lee for dropping by to celebrate you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shush you right before we came back. I apologize. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I thought I would have time to say what I had to say.
Say what you need to say.
Now I forgot. I forgot what I was going to say. If it comes back to my mind, I'll let you know. But
I'm
now
sure
I don't know.
Now, last week, let's see if this comes to mind. Last week, you guessed right.
Yes.
The number, as far as, you know, my favorite stat. And here
yes.
it is. Active coming soon listings in Canopy MLS, 500,000 or less by county. And so Mecklenburg County, we start with 500,000 or less, active coming soon. Last week was like 1,048.
Yes.
This week.
We are in the spring market, but we did have Easter. So maybe people didn't want to do it because family coming over. I'm going to say 920.
It's not 920, but it is less than 1,048. Okay. So you got one of the two legs of the parlay. We'll give you one of the two legs of the parlay. Okay. It was 1,002.
Oh,
so we're creeping back sub 1,000.
Okay.
Someone who knows about supply and demand pretty well, Dr. Chu of UNCC Childress Klein
Center
for Real Estate.
Yes.
And who I call the godfather of real estate. Basically, nobody knows numbers and knows markets better than Dr. Chu. Dr. Chu, you've got the 2023 State of Housing Report. You've done a housing report for years now.
Yes.
The executive summary, because you've said the executive summary 1,000 times. You've been to a bunch of events. You've done the talking points. I need to know, is there any equation besides increasing supply that would help balance the market?
I mean, people are moving to this area. People need to live in some kinds of housing. So unless we can stop people moving from here, then we have to increase supply to balance it because there is demand.
You live here. What makes this area so great to you?
This is a great city, has most like the great things that you want to have, the amenities you have, like most of the great things that big city would have, like great restaurants. And I have three kids. All three kids have like lots of activities they can do and they enjoy. And also the Charlotte area doesn't have a lot of the like problems associated with big cities. So that's why I think people like this. And the business environment is really good. That's why we are seeing more and more business move into this area. Of course, when business move into this area, that brings people here. So it's just a great city to live. So
49ers now have a football team a couple of years now. Last time we sat together, I think was pre the football team, I think, because you were on Today's Real Talk when it was a podcast version back in the day. Now that you guys have a football team, did that economically shift the school a little bit for you guys in a positive way, the way that most people look at athletic programs?
I think so. I think, and also we are part of the ACC right now, and I think that changes a lot of things as well. And the university, of course, is also on a upward trajectory, and we will be a Research One university in 2025. So we are currently a Research Two, that not the highest, not the top tier research school, but we will be in 2025.
I have no doubt that that is at least partially in thanks to you. So tell people, give people your education background. Give us your resume, if you would.
So I'm currently the director of the Childress Klein Center for Real Estate. I'm also the Childress Klein Distinguished Professor in Real Estate and Urban Economics, also Professor of Finance at UNC Charlotte. And so the center has many missions. One of them is, of course, education. We have the Master of Science in Real Estate program. And we also have the real estate undergraduate concentration within the finance major. And we also do a lot of like research. And one of the things we have been doing for many years is the State of Charlotte Housing Report and Summit, where we use a kind of data-driven method to analyze what's going on in the market. And so that's basically what we do.
You read a lot of numbers or a lot of reports quite often, being a professor, probably just for the love of it too. You clearly have a passion for it. Is there someone in particular that you look to and say they get this and they understand this at a higher level like you do? Like, who do you look to? Who does Dr. Chu look to?
I mean, I don't really look to any particular person. I look up to the data. I let the data tell me what's going on. So so that's why when we first did the State of Charlotte Housing Report, we never prescribed any policy solutions. Our goal was to, like, let's first get the facts right. Because a lot of times when we hear people talking about housing and in a lot of media, some of those talking points are not really based on data. It's just not true. So that bothered me. So as a data-driven researcher, that really bothers me. I think everything should be based on data. If the kind of things you're talking about are not based on data, and then you, based on those kind of shaky things, and you want to prescribe policy solutions, there's not going to be a good outcome out of that.
Can I ask a question?
Claudia, you can do whatever you want right now.
I want to ask a question as a realtor who, of course, people listen to or not. Of course, I have many buyers or many people thinking about buying. Ask me the question, is the market, and I'm talking about Charlotte, Lake Norman, our area, not the rest of the country, is the market in our area going to crash? Are the prices coming down?
I don't see that happening. I think I've answered that question many, many times. Although oftentimes I don't want to do predictions or forecasts. That's because economists are really good at to predict the past, not the future. But
I got my DraftKings app out right now to put the bet down. I got two legs on a parlay ready to go here.
Yeah, so I just don't see that there is any downside risk, of course, unless something dramatic in the world happens or in the country happens, right? But I don't see that. So we've seen that interest rate rise so much during a very short period of time, and that didn't really crash the market. We saw a little bit like flattening of the growth we saw during COVID. That was crazy, nothing like dramatic happened even with like 7.5 or even higher mortgage interest rate, right? So, and then the other thing that COVID did to us was it actually significantly slowed down the supply. So COVID added another, at least for the Charlotte area, another 10,000 housing units deficit to the already what I called underbuilding since the Great Recession. So that's very significant. So I don't see, so the demand is still there. People still move into this area. So our data shows about 120 people move into Charlotte metro area every day. And also there's also a very interesting statistics in this area is the average size of household is decreasing. So that means that we need to build more housing units because that means 120 decreasing household size, more households.
So no longer like a family of four, it could be just a couple that moves in together, and we're seeing that as far
yeah,
as...
Yeah, so the average household size has been very stable. It was like 2.6 something, but since COVID, now we are at 2.4 something. And this is because a lot of young professionals are moving to this area.
That is true.
And how is the business economy? Is it? Do you think that there can be balance between the business economy and? I mean, I don't think we ever catch up on supply. I guess is my summary. Mm-hmm. Your take on that?
Yeah, I think so. Since the Great Recession, most parts of the country had a underbuilt problem for many different reasons. Developers were worried, they were scared, and then didn't really build a lot. And then the regulation didn't cooperate. So the regulation has always been kind of a force that like slowed down development. So because of that, it's, our estimates is to this day, the Charlotte area probably has a deficit of 30 to 40,000 housing units.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's not that next year, let's build 40,000 units that will solve it. We will build whatever needed to accommodate new people moving in. On top of that, we need to build additional 40,000 units. In total, the Charlotte area every year is about 30 to 50,000 units. So that will, so if we allow the market to do whatever they want, then it will take at least 5 to 6 years to absorb that deficit. But there's all kinds of force that not allowing the market to actually do that.
Such as what?
Such as...
Labor, maybe?
Labor, probably not. I would say such as regulation, such as zoning, such as people's mind. So this NIMBYism is always a concern, is always a thing that slow down development.
You just used a big word, NIMBYism.
I know.
We're going to talk about
a word of the day tomorrow for the show.
Yeah, NIMBYism, not in my backyard, if you've not heard that term before. We're talking with Dr. Chu of UNCC's Childress Kline Center for Real Estate. Got it that time. Not going to take calls. Not going to take calls. Don't do it. We made the announcement about Todd Starnes as well. Go to the website, wsicnews.com/Todd. You can find out more there. Hanging out with Claudio Grizic, celebrating 10 years. Thank you. 10 more here, right here in this room.
Of course.
Co-hosting with me along the side, asking the realtor questions. I do want to find out some personal things from Dr. Chu, supply and demand side, when we come back about the city.
We'll be back with more of today's Real Talk, hosted by Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazepas, in just a moment on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now, more of today's Real Talk with Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazepas on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Today's Real Talk, the show focused on North Carolina real estate. Hanging out with Claudia Ogrizek of Compass Real Estate and Dr. Chu of Childress Kline Center. I keep wanting to say, it's basically the school, okay?
Center.
It's basically the school. Claudia had a great question for you during the break, Dr. Chu. So typically right now, based on the classes you're teaching, what are the types of students? Do you have like these real estate investors and professionals taking your courses? Is it thought leaders and future, you know, economists of the world? Give us the rundown.
Yeah, so I currently teach two classes. One is for a PhD class. Those are kind of for training future academics who's going to be teaching as a professor. And then the other class is real estate capital markets. So I'm teaching students on like real estate debt market, real estate equity market, both private and public. And our students, about 70% of our students are part-time. They work, most of them work in the city already, a lot of them already in the real estate industry. So real estate investment, real estate development, some of them from the construction side, and some of them are in the lending side. So real estate debt, mortgage stuff. So that's our kind of most of our student body.
But you said mostly commercial real estate.
Mostly commercial real estate, yeah.
If you think about how a neighborhood starts, it is on the commercial side. So density, zoning laws, do your classes or does the program get into those concepts at all?
Yes. So we have like development classes. We have this site feasibility classes. We talk about density. We talk about like neighborhoods all the time.
You talk about UDO at all or anything like that? Like any of the regulatory?
Yeah. So it's not like any specific class, but I talk about that a lot. And I will not say I have read the UDO because it's a 900 something.
I don't know if anybody's read the whole thing now. Come on.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. somebody had. I bet Allison Craig did.
Sure. Okay. A creator of it probably has read it.
Hopefully,
okay.
Hopefully
I understand that. Yeah. And several committee members along the way.
I do have clients that ask me if I read the whole thing. I'm like, no.
But it brings up an interesting point, right, for the economics of housing and trickling down to what Claudia's really wondering about, the residential side, right? Yes. Because the first-time home buyer, the person who's, let's say, aging and seasoned and worried about their taxes going up so high and there not being enough supply to bring down the value across certain points at certain times of your life, you have certain needs. Can we accommodate all the many needs that our area is currently, you know, faced with?
Yeah, certainly. As long as we are able to build more houses, again, so that goes, that is the supply issue. So we still, I mean, this is not like a New York or San Francisco. So as long as we are able to accommodate these kind of development, we should be able to do that. But that takes a effort of all people involved. Of course, there's a government piece regarding regulation. I talked about a little bit about NIMBYism before the break. People have to realize that, yeah, everybody wants to live in a large house with great green space, lots of trees and everything. But think about that. Because of that, if you restrict supply, price is going to be very high. And where the teachers of your kids, where the policemen, where the firefighters are going to live? Okay, so if you're if an elementary school teacher lives 10 miles, 15 miles away from where she needs to teach, or if a policeman lives 20 miles away, is that something you want? And let alone that if, let's say, saving a tree, we all love great trees. Don't take me wrong. I don't hate trees.
Unless you got allergies.
I do. I have very severe allergies, so these days it's terrible. But still, so that's not the reason I hate trees. So, but if saving a tree, or saving two or three trees, will result in putting somebody on the street, would you still want to save those trees, or rather, have those people housed somewhere?
And just one thing, by the way, you said police officers and teachers. I do have many because, you know, I do have many police officers that are my clients.
Oh, shoot.
And I know if I get in trouble, I can call a bunch of people. But they have, like, I have some that are Charlotte police officers, and they all live far from Charlotte because they cannot afford to be in Charlotte. So I have some in Gastonia, some in Salisbury, because they cannot afford with what they make to live in Charlotte. So we do need to find a balance. I get supply and demand, of course, it's part of the world, but we do have to find a solution or affordable housing for those people to be able to live close to where they live and they work. So live and work and not have to drive 1 hour to go home.
So, Dr. Chu, you had mentioned that about 150 people a day moving here and the affordability factor, because I relate affordability then to wages. I think the economy is simplified to, and this is kind of funny to say this to an economist, supply and demand is wages and spending, right? Yeah. As much as people make, then they can spend and they can have more dollars to put back into the marketplace.
Yeah.
You can make X number of dollars so you can afford X property based on a mortgage because most people aren't paying cash.
Yes.
Now, there is an X factor of cash coming into our marketplace right now. But so for the affordability factor, we read off the stats. So 500,000 or less, Mecklenburg County on market, coming soon, active, just over 1,000 units. The sales price, how far does that needle need to move, would you think, like the median actual price of a home to where we start seeing a shift based on local data?
So let me first give you several data points that's out of our report. One of the affordability measure, as you said, it's always price relative to your income. So we oftentimes use this thing called median multiple, which is median household income divided, median house price divided by median household income. And usually it's considered that the housing is affordable if that multiple is below 3. And guess what? Charlotte has already long time moved away from 3, right? So between 3 and 4, it's kind of already moderately unaffordable. And then if it's above 4, it's unaffordable. So 2022 is the first time in history that the number for Charlotte is above 4.
Oh, wow.
And it's increasing very fast.
Not even just above 3, above 4.
Above 4. And it's increasing very fast. So this is one statistic. And you talked about like houses $500,000. So the other thing we did is also relative to housing. So if you look at the median house price, this is based on 2023, but the numbers I think is pretty similar. 2023, if you want to only less than 10% of households in the Charlotte area are able to afford a medium-priced house. Okay, so that's very, very concerning.
But is there a solution?
I mean, the solution, of course, either you increase income for people. I think that takes time. It's just not there yet.
Well, and we get to the same point. If everyone increases their income, then you pretty much end up in the same place.
Yeah, of course. So, but that's not really a solution. The solution is bringing down the cost of housing. I mean, the cost of housing, two components, right? Land value and construction cost. There's not much we can do about construction cost. But land value, where does that come from? Again, supply and demand. So if you allow more land to be used for development, the land value will go down. If you don't, then the land value component of house price will just increase. That's what's happening here.
Can it increase to a point that the market, in theory, this is theoretical, completely theoretical, I'm not saying it's going to happen, a lot of steps would have to happen, it gets so pricey that nobody buys anymore?
Yeah, of course. So if at some point, if this trend continues, then at some point people will stop moving to this area because this is not really, not any more friendly to business, to people who wants to move here.
Dr. Chu, UNCC Childress Klein Center for Real Estate, celebrating 10 years of Claudia in America today.
Yay.
It's a great day. Happy April
1st.
Stay with us. Today's Real Talk with Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazepas will be back after these messages on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's today's Real Talk with Claudia Ogrizek and Justin Kazepas on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
Today's Real Talk, the show focused on North Carolina real estate. Hanging out with Claudia Ogrizek of Compass Real Estate. I'm Justin Kazepas. Dr. Chu of the Childress Klein Center for Real Estate joins us. Author of the 2023 State of Housing Report. Can I say author?
Yes.
So you do one of these each year. Do you have to like continuously monitor the progress? Like, are you looking at 2024s already? You've already got like numbers and data that you're already preliminary looking at for 2024?
Not really. So we will wait until probably September of this year to get the new data. But we always keep an eye on what's going on in the market. So
are you allowed to say you've got goals for the data, or is it more you would rather keep a neutral stance? You don't want anything to infiltrate. You want the numbers to speak for themselves.
Yeah, that's always our stance. So let the data tell the story instead of we trying to like find the data to support whatever we have in mind. We don't have an agenda.
So the data for 2023, what is that showing you?
So
23 or 24?
Well, this was the 2023.
Yeah, 2023. Okay. So first of all, out of COVID, no COVID craziness, but there's also no like dramatic decrease or crashing of the market anytime soon. And but affordability is still getting worse in the area. So that's basically what we found in the 2023 report.
We talked about median sales price, that being a huge factor in the market, looking to wages to determine what is kind of where you should be at in a comfortable range, keeping that number, you know, 30% basically what you're spending on your spending of housing. Yeah. Does that also include like homeowners insurance and those kind of factors too?
Yes. So it's housing related expense should not be more than 30% of your gross income, and the housing related expense, including if you're a homeowner, mortgage payments, utilities, homeowners insurance, and everything.
HOA?
I think so.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it should.
Is there anywhere you can do? I mean, I guess you just have to make more money, right? Like that's really, you just have to make more money.
Yes.
Because the median is not supported at this point. The median household income is not supported with that ratio.
Yeah, so I think our calculation shows you have to make more than $150,000 to afford a median priced house in Charlotte.
That's high.
Yes.
It is high.
That's real high.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many people live on a minimum wage? that, of course, cannot make 150 or close to that.
I don't know the percentage. Do you know the percentage?
No, next week, let's...
Oh, you're throwing out zingers out here right now. Gosh, stirring up trouble on our 10-year anniversary.
We kind of have a number that's somewhere around 10%.
10% of population making minimum wage. Do you know where these people are? Do they rent? Do they...
I mean, so for people making minimum wage, it's very difficult for market to solve this problem, because if we are thinking about like 30% median income, and then it's almost impossible for market to supply those kind of products.
There's it'd have to be subsidized housing.
That has to be subsidized.
There are real needs in the market, because do you get into at all, like on the solution side, like public-private partnership, nonprofit, do you get into those conversations, or do you have thoughts on that you can share, or?
Sometimes I get asked, but not a lot of times. I obviously have thoughts, right? So I think there are kind of people are talking about at different levels of for example, for development, we can have like the market rate, and then we can have affordable component. And
mixed income properties.
Yeah, mixed income properties. And then the other thing is, instead of just doing that, you can like let the developers to have higher density, to relax some of the zoning requirements for those. And then because of that, the developers can have more affordable units.
Do you ever see any conversation about building height? Just curious, as far as one of the factors. Do you ever see building height come up like as part of like the density answer going vertical? Right, because we have to go either up or down, right, at some point. We can't go just out forever.
Yeah, but I think going vertical, of course, at some point it will become necessary, right? But at this point, I think it's a little bit too expensive to go vertical. Vertical is expensive, but there's still lots of land in this area. It's not that we have very limited amount of land. There is land, but we just cannot build houses on those land.
Because of zoning, because of timing.
Because of zoning, because a lot of, for example, single family exclusive zoning and all those kind of stuff.
And then you got environmental factors, you've got right of ways, you've got utilities.
Yeah.
So here toward the lake and north, a lot of it has to do with annexation and getting the public utilities required for properties to be able to be developed, because if you're not on city water, city sewer, for example, you're not going to put it on septic. And so environmental becomes a factor of it too.
So that's also a very, very important consideration. So I was, I worked for a like consulting project. That's actually a project very close here. And then it was a 10,000 unit community, and the developer agreed to provide a lot of the support to the infrastructure, and even agreed to give two fire trucks to the city. But the city refused to even consider this project. It was a very small city.
My brain is here, like, I'm trying to see if I know.
Claudia sold six units already, Dr.
My
Chu.
Brain
My
is
gosh.
Like,
she's got clients to put there.
I mean, it's not being built because it was not approved.
I know. That's why I'm thinking, do I know the development?
No,
maybe
you don't know.
You can tell me later.
No. Yeah. So that was kind of crazy, because that is like, that was like a very small city with like 10,000 people. And I should take back that it was a 700, 300 something units. So it could add about, 1,000 people.
It's so a 10% bump in population right there.
10% bump up of population. But that land is currently a kind of golf course.
Mm.
And it's vacant. And everybody enjoys it.
Okay.
Everybody enjoys it.
Okay.
Now think about if you are one, your house is close to that golf course. Of course you're going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I enjoy it. It's free. I mean, it's green space. It's who likes to have all those people like live in there, but that's like 10%.
My only thing, and I understand, you know, apartment or condo, the only thing that kills me as an agent, and it's not because of my commission or anything, it's that at least I see too often, I guess, the cities allow apartments to be built. So you have a ton of people added to a city.
High density.
High density apartment, not condos. So meaning some big shot is making
rental
a lot
ownership.
Of money, and yeah. then people cannot, people, nothing changes for people. They cannot afford it because it's just for renting. So it prevents people from becoming owners.
I probably will have a very kind of different opinion. So at this point of this housing affordability issue, I would say any supply is good. So even rental units are good.
That's how desperate it's gotten, you think, at this point from yes. a price perspective.
Yes.
And we'll take any kind of unit as long as we can get people housing.
Yes.
That's how many people are moving here right now. That's how big the
Yeah.
is.
So, I mean, there is going to be, of course, at the end of the day, owner-occupied is the way you can build wealth, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will have to miss that train for if they rent. But at this point, especially given like the situation in Charlotte, we have a lot of young professionals moving to this area. Some of them are single, or a lot of them do not have kids. Probably they will feel like more comfortable renting. So we need to have a substantial segment of our rental properties that for them. Okay, so. So one thing that, if you look at the data, rents have been kind of at least flat or is decreasing in the area because Charlotte did have a lot of new rental property apartments built in the last 2 or 3 years. Mm. But that's significantly slowing down because of the interest rate environment, because banks are not lending out construction loans. So if you look at statistics, the construction for multifamily residential is probably down 50-60% this year, probably next year as well. So one thing I can predict is probably from 2 or 3 years later, we will see rent going up significantly again.
And part of this in the balance of commercial and residential, the commercial side, the numbers have to, what the developer community says, pencil out, meaning mm-hmm. that the numbers have to make sense to where they make money. They can't lose money. We know that. There's certainly a debate of profit, right? And to get their project approved is usually where that number comes down to, yeah. right? On the density yeah. side, what they can get from a rental perspective or what they would get from selling it. And that's usually where the condo versus the apartment complex comes up. But you go anywhere around here, even north of Charlotte even, that you bring up an apartment complex, they're not letting anything beyond by right. I mean, you're having a tough struggle. Unless you go far, you have a tough struggle building some high-density units.
Yeah, I can understand. I mean, all those kind of regulations that it's just not easy.
It's not an easy venture.
Yeah.
Dr. Chu, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
You did radio. You hey. Did it.
Yes.
We're not done yet, though. We got
done.
20 seconds.
We're doing radio.
Okay.
Claudia Ogrizek, 10 years in the United States.
Yay.
So yes. glad you made the decision to come, because I get to hang out with you every week.
And you're wearing green and I'm not.
I wore green for you today.
I have my American collar today.
I actually wore green. Well,
and I have red, white, and blue.
Looking forward to next week. Probably have a guest. Maybe.
Yes.